for everyone. That's why I support KABU with my contribution every year. It's also why I match that gift to the Oregon Cultural Trust. When you make a gift to KABU, make a matching gift to the Cultural Trust by December 31st. Then you can use the cultural tax credit next year to reduce your state tax bill. It's true. And it's also how KABU supporters guarantee access to cultural programming in Portland and all around the state. Visit culturaltrust.org today to learn more before December 31st.
Music and Mayhem via downtempo, hip-hop, rap, drum and bass, breakbeats, and everything else except the kitchen. The Soundbox focuses on local hip-hop noise, abstract originators, classic hits, respecting the quiet storm, and toasting the original. Your hosts are Dina B and PDX Biologic. Tune in to Soundbox every Saturday from 10 p.m. to midnight here on KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock, and right now, it's Combined Culture Radio. Stay tuned.
Don't wanna be a player.
I'm not a player, I just crush a lot. I'm not a player, I just crush a lot. But you still a hater, elevator to the top, high. See you later, I'm gone. Penthouse suite, penthouse freaks, in-house beach, French couch seats, 10,000 east, rent out lease, with an option to buy, copping a five of Benz. And when I'm not, over in the sky, off in the lie, with my twincito, up in the Benzito, with my Kiko from Queens, nickname Benico. We go back like DAs and wear PJs. Now we reach the peak age, running trains for 3 days. Who wanna ride, it won't cost you a dollar, whether sore for harder. Of course, you're still gonna holler. I'm out there, huh? I rip my through your hooters. I'm sick. You couldn't measure for six rulers. Hold up, true lie. I'm all about getting new, but I'll knock that boo if you out to get boo.
I don't wanna be playing no more.
I'm not a player, I just crush a lot.
Still got what you're looking for.
Uptown, baby, uptown.
I don't wanna be playing no more.
I'm not a player, I just crush a lot. Can the black brand, but last, I don't discriminate. I regulate every shade of that. Fung as you show class, I pass my test. Fat breast, highly intelligent bachelorettes. That's the best, I won't settle for less. I want to get a brunette when I forget a brunette. I lay your head on my chest, I feel my heartbeat. We can park the Jeep, put my deep, and just spark the leaf. It's hard to creep since I found Joe. Every pretty round, brown, want the gold. Put this boogie down professional. I'ma let you know once I put the blows. Get your clothes cause you got to go out the door. Little brown hairs everywhere.
You nasty twin.
I don't care. Round here they call me Big Buns. If you with the big guns, big tongue on to make a chick. Hot tub, poppin' bubbly. My love got to scream and punish me. But it don't stop. Watch the pun get wicked when I even look be like. Don't stop getting in a hot tub, poppin' bubbly. Hot love, got to scream and punish me. But it don't stop. Watch the pun get wicked when I stop. Even look be like, don't stop, get it.
I don't wanna be playing no more. Punish her, make me punish her. Punish her, still got what you're looking for.
Hey, 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 what up? This is Combined Culture Radio. The boy Tevin is out of town. He can't be here because he's here with his family down in the Bay. But your boy Jalen's going to hold it down this episode. And I got my guy Kenny in the studio with me. The return, the return of Mr. Kenny Leroy. Oh, wait, you don't want Joe Gorman out there probably.
Nah, I don't. But yeah, the return of Kung Fu Kenny, you know, I just had to come step in real quick.
The prodigal
son
returns.
Nah, I just, you know, Tevin couldn't be here. So we needed a conflicting opinion, as we always do.
Oh, yeah, of course. Good to have you back, man. Good to have you back. Hey, but that song right there, man, do you remember listening to that all the time when you was a kid? Like, that was the jam, and it's still the jam.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Like, every time that song goes off in the club, I'm over 21. Every time that song goes off in the club, you know, it always bangs. And I remember being as a kid, I always think you said Boniqua Banana. But when I looked it up, and then when I started learning the Spanish language a little bit, it was Boricua Morena.
See, so. I still don't even know what he's saying. I just be like, Boricua, Boria.
No, Boricua Morena just means, I mean, it loosely translates to dark-skinned Puerto Rican woman.
Oh, that's cool. That's pretty cool. Thanks for educating us on that one.
Yeah.
Man, I was thinking about, like, listening to that song and like some of the older hits from back in the day. I was wondering, you know, if those songs came out today, like, would they still be slaps? Like, I'm talking like, would they be on like the level of like Grammy winning like songs? What do you think?
I mean, songs that are classics are classics. Sometimes, I mean, think about it like this, right? I mean, I'm going to say this again, but like Nas has never won a Grammy. He's won a top five rapper of all time.
Yeah.
He's consensus top five rapper of all time and has a consensus top five album of all time. Never won a Grammy. Tupac never won a Grammy. So would they win Grammys? I mean, maybe, but you never know.
True. Speaking of the Grammys, you seen the nominations that came out?
Yeah, they came out a couple weeks ago. And the first thing is kind of like thinking like as being a more so rap and R&B, just an urban, you know, urban music fan, I've always wondered like, do they matter? And especially because they haven't gotten the same recognition. Of course, some of my favorite artists haven't gotten Grammys or haven't even gotten nominated. So I don't know. Do you feel like they matter? How do you feel like they kind of stack up as a consumer of music? How do you feel they stack up?
I mean, it's hard to say if they matter or not. I mean, as an artist, if I got a Grammy, I would definitely care, you know. But in terms of like what they mean, like the actual title of the Grammys people win, I don't necessarily think you could really attribute that outside of the actual sphere of the Grammy, you know. Like they'd be like, this is the best song of the year according to the Grammy, you know. So like the best song of the year is, you know, always going to be up to, you know, the individual that's assessing it. You know, I don't always agree with the song of the year, the album of the year, and I definitely like have opposed some of the selections on plenty of the years, but hopefully, you know, they start getting it right, which is also, you know, subjective as well. You know,
yeah,
get it right.
Yeah, I think as an art form too, music can be so subjective. So it's tough to say like what's the best. I mean, what are we grading it on? Are we grading it on music, musicianship? Are we grading it on quality? Or grading on how much we enjoy it? So it can be left up to so much interpretation too.
You know, I'd be curious to know, because like numbers are definitely a huge thing. Like who views or listens to the who has the most listens, you know, on their songs, you know, which receives the most responses and stuff and whatnot, what gets played the most. But you know, there's other aspects when it goes to the committee that they take into consideration, and I wonder like how they weigh different genres against each other. Like I'd imagine that's a pretty hard job to do. Like, you know, you might see like classic example like Kendrick or Beyonce going up against like Taylor Swift or something like that. Like how do you compare those two? That just doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah, it's one of those like pick your poison with your genre and see, you know, what more do you like more? What do you value more? What do you find is more quality? I mean, we have people who say like, you know, they say, I've had plenty of people, I haven't heard it as much, more so because we, you know, we live in Portland. There's a lot of like interaction between people of different backgrounds who all listen to rap, but like they'll say like rap isn't music for whatever reason, whether it's a technical reason, whether it's a, you know, they feel like it's one of the more shallower genres of music, or you just have different people think, or they I've even said in the past, I mean, I don't know if I think this anymore, but I've said like stuff like EDM isn't music. Is it? I mean, it's electronic and it technically is music, but how do we really feel about it?
Anything is music, you know. I always say that anything is music, you know. If you got a rhythm based behind it, it's matter of what's good music, right?
Yeah.
But like you're saying, man, there's starting to be like some sort of shift in what the Grammys hold as valuable and as the best, you know,
yeah,
the best music out there. What are some of the shifts that you observed in the nominations this year?
Yeah, we're gonna get into the nominations in a second, because I was like, I really want to talk about like the nominations, and we're gonna make some picks and whatnot of like what we would think and all that stuff. But I say one of the shifts is like, one of the things that I noticed was that there weren't any white males in any of the major categories. So as best new artist, album of the year, song of the year, record of the year, any of the main, like the main combined subjects or those major categories, there were no white males. So they're starting to maybe like start to recognize some urban forms of music and some other artists in different places. So, and from in sometimes different languages, because Despacito was nominated for a couple Grammys and even the English language category. So you know, you're starting to see that they're starting to kind of recognize different cultures, and they're starting to recognize different backgrounds as high quality. So that's definitely something I've noticed.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to see. I mean, I found out this year, you were here on the show too, when we were discussing how hip hop is now the number one music genre in the world, and it's starting to show. Like, I don't know if it's just because like it got pointed out to me and now I'm starting to notice it, or if it's just like all happening at once. But like, when I see movie trailers now, like there'll be like some Migos playing on the cover of the movie trailer, which is like never. That wouldn't even be thought of. Like, people wouldn't take that movie serious, you know, 10, maybe even 5 years ago.
I wouldn't know about 5 years ago, because what year Django and Chain come out? Like 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And that had Rick Ross in it. And I remember Rick, it was like in the scene. It was very anachronistic. And the SAT word of the day, anachronistic. But which basically means it just wasn't the right time for the music. But in any case, it was Rick Ross and Django and Chain. And that was like one of the times I was like, whoa, like, you know, it's just kind of catching on and even more mainstream.
I remember that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that gave me goosebumps when I saw that for the first time. I was like, man, this is tight. But like, even when you see in commercials, like little iPhone commercials or something like that, like hip hop starting to dominate just culturally. Anyway, and you think that kind of plays into why there's not as many white males, or there's no white males in the Grammy noms, because they're not really representing the hip hop community that much.
That could definitely be it. I mean, there's definitely room for all cultures to be in hip hop. I mean, I've listened to hip hop artists from there, especially in other countries too. You listen to like Spanish version hip hop, and that has a lot of slaps in that one.
Oh yeah.
French,
yeah, you were putting me on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the Spanish has a couple, and also helps you kind of relate to other people as far as like where they're from. If they speak another language too, kind of helps you guys kind of come together. Like I noticed when I play Spanish language music with some of my friends of, you know, who are Mexican or Dominican or Salvadoran or anything like that, they tend to really like, we're trying to kind of come together and like, oh, you know about this, I know about that too. Like we start to kind of, you know, have a little bit of community. It brings us together. You play French music, you know, everyone's getting put onto something they never listened to, you know.
Exactly.
There was even a song, Kristaps Porzingis, he's from Lithuania or Latvia.
That song is a slap.
Yeah, he has a rap song in like, I can't remember if he's Latvian or Lithuanian, but there's a song that's from there, and it the beat is crazy. Like you can, like the flow is crazy. I can't understand.
Can't
a single
understand
word.
Nothing but Kristaps
Porzingis. Yeah. So I mean, it really does. You know, I think there's definitely room for so many cultures. So that could definitely be it to what you were saying.
Do you think it like? So are you saying that like culture is irrelevant when it comes to hip hop or what?
I think it's extraordinarily relevant. I think every culture has something unique and valuable to bring. I would never say the culture is what hip hop is based on.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I mean, I think it'll be very interesting to like see as more of these cultures start becoming having a bigger influence in the hip hop game. Because like in America, I'd say like most people are kind of closed off to those other cultures getting involved in hip hop, and it's starting to become more widespread, and like people are starting to catch on that other countries are in this too as well.
You want to make some picks?
Make some picks.
You want to make some picks? All right. There's a couple that I know. So our boy Jalen, I don't know how familiar he can be with some of these. You know, like if y'all don't know, you know, we're kind of friends, kind of sometimes.
Kenny come over and eat on Sundays, that's it.
Yeah,
that's all.
Nah, but I have a good idea kind of like what he's more for, a little bit more familiar with, at least, you know, some at least for somewhat. So so one of my, we're gonna start with the best rap performance. So the nominees were Bad and Bougie,
okay,
Humble,
okay,
Bodak Yellow,
okay,
444, and bounce back. Now, out of those, now best rap performance, that just means who rapped the best, not necessarily what was the best, like, you know, like it was about the performer, about how well they rapped. So what would you pick?
You know, we ain't never had no old money. I'm gonna go Bad and Bougie on that one.
Yeah, it's that one.
I'm sorry, like that song was amazing.
It was
as annoying as it got. I mean, any song's gonna get annoying when you hear it a million times. That song was amazing, bro.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with that one too, just off the strength of like the rapping, and people don't realize how technically difficult it is for that triplet flow in terms of what the Migos use, and then Uzi right Vert kind of came in and like did some, he said some funky stuff too.
He did.
he was very cool as a change of pace. I mean, you know, take out God Love All Bad and Bougie. but Bodak Yellow, I think it could be a dark horse to win that, just because I think her record label is gonna see to it that she wins a Grammy, and which is, I think she is signed to Atlantic Records, and they have notoriety for doing that. And then second, I think the only thing stopping her from that is because Bodak Yellow is kind of like what would be equivalent to the best adapted screenplay of the Oscars, because it was originally a song by Kodak Black that has a similar flow, and had but what she's saying is, you know, pretty cool. So I thought she did a pretty good job on that. So either Offset or Cardi's taking home a Grammy.
Yeah, one of the two, the couple.
Okay, best rap song collab. So we got Family Feud with Beyonce and Jay Z. Okay. We got Problems with Black, Love Galore with Travis Scott and SZA. Crew with Gold Link, Shy Glizzy, and Brent Faiyaz, and Loyalty with Rihanna and Kendrick Lamar.
The Crew instrumentals on this episode, by the way, just to let you know.
Okay.
I love that song.
Yeah.
Was it the best duo, though? Like, because I really only love it for the chorus, deep down.
Yeah, that chorus is, like, if we ever were to, like, do, like, a top choruses in hip-hop, like, over the last, like, 5 years, that's, like, near the top.
That's, like, that's my favorite part, but, I don't think I could give it best collab, but I think I'd have to go with the king and the queen, bro. I gotta go with the king and queen.
You going Beyonce and Jay-Z?
Yeah, I think that's what I have to go with.
Okay, I'm a little partial. Jay-Z just to me has kind of been a little like everything. Like, I'm a huge Jay-Z fan, but like, he's been really lazy and old to me over the last few years. Like, it's no disrespect to Jay-Z. I mean, 444 was a good album, but it didn't have like the same energy. And of course it doesn't. He's nearing 50 years old. But like, it's just hard for me to give Jay-Z as much credit as I like.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if we're not going with Crew, I'll probably go with Loyalty. That'd be my number two. I think Crew is just because also, like, I think Gold Link and Shy Glizzy did a really good job with the rapping.
Yeah. Loyalty's really good too.
Yeah.
That was like the song of the spring for me. Okay. I was gonna say summer, but I didn't play that much in the summer.
Nah.
What's our next category?
Best R&B song. So this one's a little bit different, but I think but you listen to a decent amount of R&B, and I think you might be able to. So Location, which is Khalid.
Yeah.
First Began by PJ Morton. I listened to that song just because it was nominated.
I haven't listened to that one yet.
Yeah. Redbone by Donald Glover or Childish Gambino. That's What I Like by Bruno Mars, and Supermodel by SZA.
Redbone.
You think Redbone?
That's my personal pick. I don't.
And this for this, but remember, song is for songwriting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That song was, I mean, between that and That's What I Like, I would say those would be my top two in that category. Redbone was just ridiculously good. Also, I've done a lot more research into the production of that song, and it's kind of ridiculous how they just put that good of a track together in the amount of time they had, and there's really only two people working on it mainly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a classic song. Like, I really like it. So I'm going to go with Redbone.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with Redbone too. Location was a really good song. Khalid's a young, upcoming talent.
Yeah,
Khalid definitely is incredible. And That's What I Like. That's a great song. And that's one of my favorite songs, like, of the year, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did a great job singing. I think Bruno Mars, you know, I think that
the category is R&B, right?
Yeah, it's R&B song.
See,
songwriting.
I don't really see that as much of an R&B song.
Exactly. It was more of a pop, funk kind of.
I wouldn't put that in.
It R&B. Almost is a rap song in some ways, because like it sounded like, I've always thought that like when at the beginning, like that, hey, it sounds like something out of a 2004 rap song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think that even belongs in that category, but it's Bruno Mars and he just be doing stuff. So
yeah. Yeah. All right. Best rap album. Okay, this one, we thought long and hard about. It's difficult. So, Flower Boy by Tyler, the Creator. We got Culture by Migos. We got Layla's Wisdom by Rhapsody. We got 444 by Jay-Z. And we got Damn by Kendrick Lamar.
Damn.
Yeah. I want
to... I already know I'm biased on this because he's my favorite rapper, but it's Damn. Like, that's... I think everyone's talking about 4-4. I have a confession. I actually haven't listened to 4-4.
You still haven't listened to that after the conflict we had this summer?
I mean, I've heard songs about it. I have it on my phone now. I still haven't listened to it all the way through.
Well,
that's
then
it.
You can't. Like I said before, you have to listen to it to make a decision.
No,
right?
I don't. We already had this talk. I don't got to listen to it. I already decided as soon as I heard Damn that it was the best album of the year. That was at the beginning of the year. Sort of like beginning half of the year.
Okay, I'm gonna say I've listened to all five albums. Okay. I enjoyed all five albums. Okay. 444, I enjoyed, but like it's not like I guess because I saw high expectations for Jay-Z, and I'm just like always like it's Jay-Z, like he's one of the greatest rappers of all time. But like that album was like he was saying a lot of stuff that was really like it was about like as far as like what he was saying was like really good. Some of the beats were cool. Layla's Wisdom, I think more people need to listen to that album. That album, like, she did a great job. Ninth Wonder had a huge hand in producing it. It come from Jamla Records. They have a great, great deal. She's a fantastic rapper. She had a lot of like, polysyllabic rhymes. She had a lot of cool content, like as far as like the songwriting that she was doing. It's really good to see a woman nominated for this Grammy, especially because she's good. I think it shows a lot of respect that they have for her and what she was able to create. And also Culture, it was pretty good.
Okay, that was a really good album.
Yeah,
like every single song on the album, with the exception of maybe the intro because DJ Khaled kind of ruined it.
Yep.
That album was ridiculously good.
Yeah, it was. And like, it was surprisingly good.
Because for me, when I think about rap, I have two categories. You got your more conscious rap, spoken word
quote
type
unquote,
stuff.
Yeah.
And then you got your just straight having a good time, like turn up music.
And Migos did that perfectly.
Slaps. And they had an album full of slaps. Like they executed. And it's like, it when it comes down to it, you're just pretty much like saying which is better. Like which aspect of rap is better,
Yeah.
But I'm giving it up to Kendrick because he had some good slaps on his album.
So yeah, nah, I think
that DNA
did
made me throw everything around in one of my friends' houses.
Oh yeah, it did.
Yeah, I went crazy.
Also when I get some guess Flower Boy was surprisingly good as well. I'm giving it to Kendrick though. Like I just wanted to kind of set that all up. Giving to Kendrick, his approach to like album making just over the last like it, not just this album. I don't want to make this a lifetime achievement award. Of course I just want to judge it on this mm-hmm. album, but the way he approaches creating albums with the integrity that he does
doesn't compare.
He's head and shoulders in terms of album creation to me.
Yeah.
The way he made it so that way you can listen to it forward and backwards, and it gives you kind of two separate ideas.
It's ridiculous.
The way he's able to make songs leading to each other and relate to each other. I had a version of the album that like what that had not as many skits and like certain things on it, and just little things that he did changed the entire album. So like as far as like creating an album and making everything fit together and still making it enjoyable and making songs that can be singles, like Kendrick, I'm giving it to him.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, what's our next topic? What we got?
Best rap song. So we have Sassy with Rhapsody, Humble, written by Kendrick Lamar, Michael Made It A Plus, Bodak Yellow, written by Cardi B, Kodak Black, etc. Chase Me, Killer Mike, Big Boy, Danger Mouse. So that's kind of a, that, I think that was a Run the Jewels featuring Big Boy and produced by Danger Mouse. I think it's what it was. And The Story of OJ, Jay-Z, co-written by No Idea.
I've heard that one.
And this is for songwriting.
I'm gonna go with Story of OJ.
I think I'm gonna go with that one too.
Just because I don't even think, like, most of those I wouldn't even consider the best.
Yeah, I feel like Kendrick had better songs.
Yeah, I think Kendrick had better songs. I think there's just way better songs you could have nominated for that. Like, nah, I don't really like that selection list. I know why Humble's on there. It's because, like, it was, like, they used it on pretty much every NBA advertisement for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I would have preferred DNA for song.
Yeah, me too. They did use a little bit of DNA.
Yeah, they did, I think.
But, like,
Humble was by far...
Humble was used on so many platforms. And also the record it broke or whatever for, like, jumping to number one the quickest or something like that. Mm-hmm. That, like, that's pretty dope to me.
Sassy also, to me, like, on that album, I can name.
I think you played that one for me.
I did, but there was also a song that featuring Kendrick Lamar that I thought was a better song. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see how Rhapsody weighs out in, like, the next year.
Yeah.
You know, because... It's a good album. Very good album from, especially from what you told me. I haven't listened to the whole thing, but it's what you showed me.
Mine was the story of OJ as well.
Yeah.
So best R&B performance. So Kalani, Distraction, Ladisi High, Get You, Daniel Caesar, Kali Uchis, That's What I Like, Bruno Mars, so there it goes again, and The Weeknd, SZA.
Gotta disqualify Bruno Mars again because it was an R&B song. I'm about to go with Get You, just because, like, that song just that gets me up in the morning, man. Like, that's how I transition into my day, from, like, sleep to getting awake to going to work. Like, that's my jam right there.
Yeah, listen to that.
I will confess, I don't think I heard the first two. I don't think I've listened to those two songs.
I haven't either. I mean, I know Kalani's very talented, and I tried to listen to Ladisi. I think I heard a snippet. The Weeknd was really good. It's
a side chick anthem.
It's a side chick anthem. I didn't want to say that because that could be disrespectful to some people, or people might not think that's culturally sensitive.
I don't know how that's disrespectful in any type of way.
But I mean, the lyrics in the song, SZA is incredibly talented, but the lyrics in the song literally go like something along the, they if, don't literally, if, but they go something along the lines of, if, you're if, his on during the week, you're, he's mine during the weekend.
If that song portrays your life,
You
might be a side chick. Actually, you might not be. You are a side. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
and there's nothing wrong with
it.
That.
And you know it. There's nothing wrong with it. No, I'm just saying you can't get mad if I say that.
Okay. Get You is a really good song. And Kali Uchis is also incredibly talented too. So you have two great singers on one track.
Yeah, that song is outstanding.
Okay.
One of my favorite songs on my phone.
Okay. So we got Record of the Year. So this is for... this is the recording. Mm-hmm. This is for the recording. So, like, who's the engineers and the mixers?
Yeah.
We got Humble. We got by Kendrick. We got Redbone by Childish Gambino. 24K Magic by Bruno Mars. The Story of OJ by Jay-Z and Despacito remix with Justin Bieber, Luis Fonsi, and Daddy Yankee.
Okay. I'm really torn on this one. I want to say Redbone just because, like, like I said, I did some research on the production of it, and it was just an excellent job done. But then, just the fact of how big Despacito was.
Yeah, that's
why I like it's ridiculous. They created a song that, like, transcended borders, literally. Like, it was huge, and they were smart about it. Like, they got, like, Justin Bieber on there. Like, that's like America's dude. And
it's not even America's. He's Canada's dude. I forgot.
Yeah, we robbed him. We picked him up in the draft. Just like we did Drake.
First pick in the draft. Like, they still rep Canada, but they belong to America.
Yeah.
Record of the year. I'm partial to 24K Magic. Like, that song is pretty big itself. I mean, not as big as Despacito, but it's pretty big.
Me personally, yeah, I like that more.
Yeah, I as like far as record and also better. Just the way it sounds, like,
because I love putting my pinky finger to the moon. I don't know what it symbolizes, what it's for, but when Bruno Mars tells me to put my pinky finger to the moon, I just get super lit about it.
And sonically, I think it's one of the most impressive. I think it's sonic. I mean, Despacito is pretty good because not only do you transcend borders, but transcend genres within sonics. Definitely. So if we're thinking about sonics, then I want to give it
and
to
I
that
mean,
too.
And that song's gonna do, like, and is doing a huge thing for that for Latin music in general. Like, it's exposing people. I mean, people have always known about Latin music, but they're getting turned on to that stuff, like, just in the American marketplace for music. Like, it's huge.
Okay.
I think you'll see a lot more of that in the future.
All right, so we got three more.
Okay.
Three more
okay.
categories. All right. Best new artist was Alicia Cara, Lil Uzi Vert, Julia Michaels, Khalid, and SZA. At first, I just think it's interesting that Lil Uzi Vert is even...
Repeat that list one more time.
Alicia Cara
okay.
and Khalid, which were both on the 1-800 song by Logic.
Yeah.
Lil Uzi Vert, Julia Michaels, and SZA.
I don't listen to a lot of those people. I listen to SZA. I've always liked SZA since back in, like...
2013 when she came out with TDE.
When she was like on all the features with Kendrick and stuff like that.
And
so
Schoolboy and
Schoolboy. So like I always liked her music. Lil Uzi Vert, no.
I wouldn't give it to him just because that first album wasn't very good.
It wasn't very good.
Like
no,
I've enjoyed like, other music by him, but I don't think that album was good enough to warrant a Grammy for your entry into the artist like mainstream.
Nah. I don't think it's like, I mean, he had one big song, and I feel like nowadays, like I mean, I feel like a lot of people on this list don't have much on their resume.
Well, that's why you're a best new artist.
No, I'm saying in the Grammys in general, like there's a lot of people nominated, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like if you made
well, this
a dope
makes
song,
the resume.
I'm saying if you made like, well, yeah, but I'm saying if you made the list and you don't have that much, but like you made a good song that year, you should be on there. Is what I'm saying, but like. Historically, I feel like people who show up to the Grammys people who are on nominations for the Grammys have like some sort of like time put into the game. You know what I mean? Like, there's not that many brand new people in there, and of course, brand new artists. You know, that's gonna be new artist category. But I don't think he should be on there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of better people I could put on there.
Yeah, I'm partial. I think I'm probably gonna go with Khalid just because that album was really good, and he's young. He is like that dude. The next
I'm gonna go
dude.
With Division. They're not on there, but
they're not. They're also not new.
I'm nominating.
They're two albums deep.
I'm nominating Division
they're
right now.
They're two albums deep.
Everyone go listen to Division.
The Morning After out. The Morning After album.
And September 5th.
September 5th also hot. Anyway, we gonna just
next category. Yeah.
All right, song of the year. 1-800-273-8255, aka I Don't Want to Be Alive, aka the song, the Suicide Hotline song that is extremely important. And that song is, like I said,
is for Song of the Year?
This is for Song of the Year, okay. For songwriting. So, Issues, Julia Michaels. I haven't gotten a chance to hear that one, or at least listen to it in depth.
Yeah.
That's What I Like with Bruno Mars, Despacito Remix, and 444 Jay Z. Song 444.
I'm gonna have to go with 1-800 just because of like the message behind it and the important things that it addressed. I think they touched on things that were just way bigger than music, and I like when music does that, when they try to do something with music. You know, a lot of times people just, you know, try to make tracks for fun, and they did something different and went forward and like charged it with a social message, which I think is really huge. So I'm gonna go with that song, honestly.
Yeah.
For that.
And after that, like calls to that number went up like triple fold.
Yeah,
like it is that song is. If that song does not win the Grammy for Song of the Year, I'll be upset with the Grammys.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I think that song was by far like I enjoy. That's What I Like. It's one of my favorite songs
on
the Bruno Mars
album. And
plus,
like, it's one thing if like they made the song and it was corny,
but it's a really good
song.
But
like, it's a really good song. Like,
it's an extremely good song.
It's a really good song.
It's a great song. If you haven't heard it, most people have heard it. If you haven't heard it, go listen to it. 1-800-273-8255. It has a great message. I think it's by far the best song.
Yeah. You want to go over one more category and we'll hit a music break?
All right, perfect. Album of the year, the most important one. We got Awaken My Love, Donald Glover, 444 Jay-Z, 24K Magic, Bruno Mars, Melodrama Lord, and I'm not going with that.
I'm cool with
Damn, bro. I'm just straight up like 24K Magic. That is the closest thing to
that.
That thing is to the 20. It is the closest thing to Thriller since Thriller. Other than that, it's not by Michael Jackson or Prince.
Okay.
Nine songs, eight are slaps, and when I say eight are slaps, I don't mean like eight are good. I mean like eight are great.
Okay, fine.
And not only that, the construction of the album sonically is great, songwriting's great, stylistically it's great, it's fun to dance to, it has songs for everything, he sang great on it. Bruno Mars did a fantastic job with I'm trying to think, it's like Soap Masters. I can't remember what he has, is the Soap Box, or I don't know what he got, the production team he got, but it was amazing. All the songs I can enjoy.
You grab your 24 karat magic, I'ma keep my damn.
You just like cussing on the radio.
It's not a curse word. It's a house for beavers. But on that note, we gonna transfer on to our song, our music break. So enjoy this track I selected for y'all.
No trace, no residual feelings within you. One day you won't remember me. Your face will be the reason I smile, but I will not see what I cannot have forever. I'll always love you. I hope you feel the same. Oh, you play me dirty. Toy when my affliction had to fill out my prescription. Found the way I'ma be. I had to set you free. A way for me to see clearly the way that love can be when you are not with me. I had to live. I had to live. I had to leave. I had to live.
Pretty Wings, man. Maxwell, that dude's amazing. But we're gonna switch topics from music here though. We're going to get into something that happened in politics that's been causing much uproar.
Deservedly so.
And we're not talking about that new tax plan either, because that's a whole nother topic. But we want to talk about that net neutrality. So, Kenny, I'm going to have you explain the whole issue, just because, like, I'll ruin it and probably say some alternative facts.
Okay. I mean, that would be pretty funny considering that our president be saying all that stuff. But in any case, let's not make too many politically charged statements, even though I want to. So the first thing, I guess, let's just lay down some facts that are inarguable. Okay. So the FCC voted last week to repeal net neutrality 3-2. There are five people on the FCC committee. The two women voted no. The three men voted yes. So I guess men are trash today and always. But net neutrality, in a sense, so technically, it's how we prevent internet service providers, or ISPs, as they'll be defined as henceforth, when we have net neutrality, that means that ISPs will treat every access lane equally. That means if you want to go on Google and make a search, it'll be treated fairly. If you want to go on Twitter and make a tweet, it'll be treated fairly. If you want to go on YouTube and watch a video, it'll be treated fairly. If you want to go on Wikipedia and search something up, it'll be treated, and various other things. You want to go on your local school intranets research database. If you want to go play a game on flashgames.com, you know, shouts out to us back in 2005 for that one. But it treats it all equally. And so and now ISPs with this will in the future have the power to basically throttle certain highways. And what it effectively does is it makes it so that way we create, so the internet has been called the information superhighway. Well, think of on the superhighway, think of it as there's a fast lane, and right now everyone in the United States can go in that fast lane if they feel like it. I mean, there's all the lanes of traffic are relatively the same, and providers can't make you pay more for certain things that you want to do. Well, now they can make you pay more for certain packages. It's not necessarily like, oh, pay $3.99 for the social media package, but it gives them the power to. It gives them power to throttle access to those who, to those they want to in certain regions. And right now, as it stands, there's not that many ISPs in a lot of areas. Like, I know, for example, both of us went to Oregon State. There were really only two internet service providers, were Comcast and CenturyLink.
Yeah.
Both of them were not necessarily that great, but now they can. There's chances of there being collusion between them to say, like, we're gonna block this, we're gonna do this, we're gonna have these prices set here, and then it kind of makes it a barrier of entry for other internet service providers, as well as making it more difficult for consumers to operate within that time frame. There's a lot of things that this can affect. It can affect everything from content creators, people trying to do startups, and especially with tech startups, and they're trying to, like, you know, blast their site out to those places. For example, someone like Tevin who isn't able to be here today, but his video for Lust would have been harder for that to go viral because he published it via Vimeo. Mm-hmm. So maybe they could say, oh, well, YouTube can go through here with these certain protections because you can have ad revenue here, but we go through Vimeo, which doesn't have the same ad protections or the same protections, and it won't be. And now we're going to charge you more to go on that site. So you see what I'm saying? It can have an adverse effect on content creators, on people who are trying to do political things. You know, if let's say you have one corporation that's in favor of this, they can lobby Congress and say, we want this specific medium to cost more. So that way people who are more impoverished, they can't go through that certain highway to be able to get certain information, and they won't. And we're kind of going back in terms of what we have access to. So that's a little bit about net neutrality.
So, simply put, it's pretty much a bunch of rich people trying to get richer for the sake of getting rich.
Pretty much. Man, pretty much.
That sounds like
dystopian.
Yeah.
It sounds like almost like 1984.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up. So, is there any hope that this could be reversed?
I mean, I don't know about in the near future. We just have to kind of hope and wait and see, you know, what certain ISPs are willing to do, what certain sites are willing to do, and if they'll agree to it.
Do you see some of, like, the bigger ones stand free?
I can definitely see some of the bigger ones stand free, but, like, I guess it's just, like, putting it in the hands of the – putting it in different hands and not having it, it just giving people too much power. I don't if there was ever going to be a repeal of net neutrality, we don't have the current – I don't personally believe we have the current infrastructure to be able to do that. Like, we don't have enough ISPs that are already fair today, much less, like, if we had more, if we had, you know, if consumers if it was like kind of like how when we buy shoes and we have multiple like decent brands of equal quality to choose from, then but we don't. We usually only have in most areas. Like, yeah, there's, you know, you got your Cox, Comcast, your AT&T, UVerse, you got different providers, but they're usually dispersed around the country. Like, I've only heard of certain things in certain parts of the country. So it'll be, right, we don't have proper access right now to be able to do that. So I think it is, we're not at the stage where we can effectively do that.
Yeah. When I first heard about this, my main concern was just about people being able to educate themselves. I think that's something that's very underrated in today's generation, is the ability that, like, for us to learn something, it takes like 99% less effort than it did, you know, before the internet. Like, people would have to go to libraries. You'd have to walk.
Yeah, and the cold, as we know, is really cold. I just as a quick aside about it being cold, it's cold in Portland, y'all. We all know it's cold in Portland. So for those, I feel for those of y'all who have friends who have birthdays in the month of December, I don't know.
It's not all that bad, man.
I hate every single one of my friends for having their birthday this month. We have to go outside in the cold because y'all decide y'all want to be born at a certain time, and then y'all decide y'all want to celebrate it. We can't just stay inside. Nah.
You could get warm in the cold.
That
with liquor.
That you. Not all of us need to poison ourselves. All right. So back to net neutrality.
Yeah.
I was just like kind of reading more things about some of the implications of what can happen.
Yeah. What are some of the implications?
There's some other implications. Like, for example, like I was reading that certain health clinics, both the ones that are federally funded and also some of those that are like rural health clinics, they're gonna have. There's this thing called telehealth where people are able to get some of their health care, like, you know, via the internet or you know, administer certain things.
Which is crucial
themselves.
To like people who have certain mobility, like disabilities or issues.
I mean, even those who might not have the same necessarily disabilities, but they just don't have access. Like, let's say they have to drive 2 hours to be able to get that. That's a barrier to them being able to help themselves. So we could see health clinics like that are normally used to being able to do that for a low cost. They could see their rate. They could potentially, not saying it will happen, but it could potentially have their rates increased. That would be really, really evil, but it's a possibility.
If that happened, like, would that really be advantageous to anyone?
No, but it's not advantageous now at this point. So we don't know exactly what they're going to do.
I mean,
where
it's going to
go. Yeah, there's people with, and then with those people with disabilities, let's say they live in the middle of a big city, but they still have trouble, you know, like, getting up. They won't be, for example, someone might not be able to order their medication online like they currently can.
Man, I just see this as like this whole net neutrality issue is being like a whole nother means for creating systemic issues in terms of dividing people, you know, because like you said, like, they'll have the power to like give access to certain areas and whatnot. So could they technically speaking deny access to like a minority area and then allow access everywhere else?
Yeah, they could easily do things or limit them to certain communities, not set up certain ISPs in certain communities that are faster than others. There's so many different implications. I'll even give you an example that has nothing to do with necessarily net neutrality, but it's an example of kind of like what can happen. So when I was 15, I went to a summer program at a prestigious university, and I met a group of kids from Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And those kids, they were, and also I met another kid the following school year, as they were an exchange student in my high school, and they were also from Venezuela. So this is multiple people from Venezuela that I've gotten able to meet. They all tell me that they are not fans of Hugo Chavez, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm not too sure on the facts of Hugo Chavez, but he is more socialist / communist, kind of like.
We're getting real political today.
So what happened was is that I initially, like, when I meet these people and they talk to me about Chavez, this is like 10, 12 people, and they all say, we're not a fan of Chavez for this reason. And then I kind of think about, I see some videos and rallies and then I see all these people that are supporting him. And I was like, wait, how is this possible? Like, how do these people not like this person? And then I took a quick step back and I was like, wait a second, how did I meet these kids? Well, I met exchange students and I met kids who were able to afford to go to a prestigious summer program. I only was because of a scholarship. Then I was like, wait a second, that means these kids must be of higher means or they may be more affluent. So I met a selective group of people. So now they're giving me a certain idea. They're putting certain ideas in my head because they're making me like, of course they seem reliable. They're from the country. They've seen it. But I didn't meet a common person from there. I met an affluent person from there.
Yeah.
And so now this is making it so that way maybe only affluent people can send out their ideas. They can only send out what they want to say.
See, that's kind of scary.
See, that's what I'm saying. So we don't. Like that. So that's kind of like that's kind of my allegory is saying, like, with this net neutrality, it really limits like everyone's voice. It eliminates all that. That's all.
All right, man. I want to shift topics. I mean, I heard there's this new league coming out for basketball. You hear about that, Kenny?
Yeah, I heard about it a little bit today. I saw you already know it's Tevin's favorite father, other than his own. You know, it's LeVar Ball, of course, popping up. He always got to stay relevant. He can't go away. He never will. It don't matter. He's more of a celebrity than his son, who's on the Lakers, which is just ridiculous. It makes no sense because Lakers are one of the most popular like brands. To my chagrin, they are one, and to a lot of people from Portland's chagrin, it is one of the most popular brands in all of sports. Like, when they suck, they're still on national TV.
Yeah.
Like, that should not happen.
It's like the Cowboys.
Yeah, like the Cowboys. When they suck, they're still on national television. But, you know, what it is. Point is, he wants to start a league that that pays its best players up to 10 G's a month, pay the worst players 3 G's a month, so or 4 G's a month, something like that. And
it's three.
It's three. Yeah. So something like, so it's around that area between of that salary range. And he wants to have it for 18-year-olds who don't want to go to college, don't want to play in the, you know, National College Athletics Association, NCAA, and have it set up for them so that way they can showcase their skills. I don't know. What do you think about that?
All right. Positives and negatives. I'm going to throw them at you real quick. So a lot of people, I mean, we discussed this in my group chat today. They're concerned with, like, a lot of kids just saying, you know, I'm done with this school stuff. I mean, a lot of people don't want to keep going to school after high school who are really good at basketball, but they go because that's the avenue to get to the NBA, their dream. Right. So a lot of people are thinking, man, these kids are just going to be throwing their life away going and playing basketball for them. And I'm like, I won't get my opinion yet. But yeah, so that's one concern about it. The positive is they're getting paid. You know, you got kids coming straight out of high school, they're getting paid. Whether you think they're responsible enough to have that kind of money, I think that's an illegitimate concern because they're 18-year-olds, you know. We send people off to go fight and sacrifice their lives at that age. So I think at that age you can make money too, but my opinion on it, man, is you know, the whole I don't really agree with the whole NCAA system. I think players should get paid just because of how much money is around that arena of play. Like, the NCAA makes a lot of money, you know, in college basketball. Like, their sports departments generate a lot of money, and yeah, the kids get a free education, most of them do. But it's like, how I see it is, a lot of these college athletes, not I shouldn't say a lot, but like there are cases where students don't go there for the education. They're not that invested in the school. They might pick like a major just because it's the easiest one and they're there to play, and then they may graduate and then that's that. They have a degree, they try to go play overseas. Like, this is like a typical narrative that I hear of like the college basketball player that tries to be successful just by playing basketball. I think if you just go straight out of high school and you go play in this league, you know, you're making money, right? If you decide you want to go to school afterwards, you have money to do that. I don't see the problem. Like, if you're making $3,000 a month, that in 10 months, that's $30,000. That's average tuition. In-state, I think.
In-state is a little cheaper than that.
It's somewhere around there.
I mean, if you factor, like, everything, then maybe. But
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
tuition, fees, room, board, all that. You
know? I don't see anything wrong with it. But, like, at the same time, I don't really see this being possible.
No. I think one thing. So, the first thing I'm going to say is that no one's forcing anyone to go to college. Thing that I get really sick of, because I do follow the discourse with the, you know, the whole NCAA, NBA, you know, one and done rule. No one's forcing these kids to go to college. Like, that's why I don't feel as bad as I probably should. I mean, the NCAA does not allow them to make money off their likeness, which is disgusting to me. You can't make money off your own name and face. That's why we can't have NCAA in video games. But that's neither here nor there in this case. If we're just talking about this league, there's also 18-year-olds can also go to the G League, the NBA Developmental League. So it's a direct competitor that I don't think will work, just because the avenue to the NBA is not quite as good. a lot of times I'm tired of hearing also the narrative from the NCAA, just because they say like, oh, why are they treat us like this? It's like you wanted to play. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, they want to be able to be paid top dollar before they're even worth as much as they really are. And for most of them, like 97% of them, yeah. There's a couple players that are definitely worth that. But even then, you could go. You could have won overseas. You could have not played there, exactly, and supported, yeah, them that year. So there's all that. As far as this league, this LeVar Ball League, the logistics are really difficult to start a whole league, and a lot of and especially because he said he was trying to use NBA arenas. Like, I don't know what season he thinks he's going to do that in.
Yeah.
But that's going to be difficult for him to – I don't know how he thinks he's going to have a direct competitor to the developmental league in NBA arenas and think he's going to be able to pay that price. Two, I don't know where this money is going to come from, probably sponsorships and like the TV deal or anything like that to be able to pay the players. I don't know how that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
I need
to see this business model.
Yeah, I mean, people wait and see the business model for the Big Baller brand, and no one's really seen that either. People got their right. Got their shoes like 6 months later, so I guess you can, you know, do whatever, pay them 6 months later, I guess. I don't think it'll challenge the NCAA at all. Not at least not this one. There's other things that might in the future, but I don't think the thing is with college sports is that as far as me, and I know for a lot of college sports fans, the players don't really matter as much as we think. Like, they matter. We need talent out there on the field or on the court, and that's the, you know, kind of a sick truth. But a lot of people vote. A lot of people are cheering almost blindly for the school that they went to, the community that they're a part of.
Oh yeah.
And like they're there for the brand and maybe the coach. That's what they're cheering for. So I mean, like a lot of people, like
I don't see them following.
Yeah.
Like fans following.
Like D League, like put it like this: the G League, the NBA G League, right now has much better talent than Division One basketball. Like the best players from the G League. I mean, no, the average player in the G League would be a star in Division One basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
The average player.
Okay.
So the talent level is much higher in the G League, but Division One basketball routinely draws much better.
Yeah.
Like Kansas Jayhawk games draw 20,000.
Can you imagine your college experience without college sports?
It's a big part of it.
It's a huge part of it.
We as far as
the typical college experience. I mean, there's obviously smaller colleges and
colleges like Portland State that are a little different.
Yeah, but like even like Oregon State, where like a lot of our teams suck, it's still huge. Like it was Division One.
Yeah, and it was a big part of the campus environment. We would get together, go to soccer games, basketball games, football games, any, you know, different events, baseball games. Baseball's mm-hmm. huge at Oregon State. So,
oh yeah,
it's I don't see this really like challenging it, just because. And I mean, like I said, like you have, you know, we draw on our basketball games, you know, our women's basketball games will draw 8,000 people. G League games draw 200.
Yeah. But how do you feel about, you know, just the coming straight out of high school?
I think they should be able to college. Do it.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's an NBA rule. That's not an NCAA rule. I think a lot of people need to realize that too.
A lot of people do. Yeah. A lot of people think that
that's the NCAA. We're forced to play college basketball. No one's forcing you to play college basketball.
Nah.
But yeah, I think at the end, I mean, every sport you can go pro whenever you want. Yeah. Whenever you're good enough, you go pro. So basketball should be the same.
True, true.
Football, maybe not so much, just because you might get hurt.
Yeah, yeah, football's a whole different. I mean, my opinions on football changed a lot over the years with learning about, you know, head injuries and whatnot. But on that note, we're going to conclude our show. We're going to close it out with some music, Soul Child. Go listen to some music, Soul Child, real talented, really good wintertime music, nice and slow and smooth.
Also nominated for a Grammy.
Oh, yeah.
Playing tricks on me, but I could have sworn that the kiss that was meant truly for me is leaving me torn. How can love be so kind and so gentle and turn and be so cold? And why must my arms feel so empty for what my heart still holds?
Maria, could you go?
Yeah, yeah.
So I try so hard to please you, baby.
could have done to change this outcome here? As if I blink my eyes and suddenly she up and disappeared. How can love escape your grasp without you ever letting go? And until she returns to my offer, I may never know.
Maria, could you go?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm grounded in her soul.
Whoa.
Tune to KBOO Portland.
KBOO is in this year's Willamette Week Give Guide. KBOO has inspired and supported communities for nearly 50 years. You were an important part of this work, and your gift to KBOO builds fiercely just, creative, and independent radio. Join your friends and neighbors in supporting KBOO in the Give Guide. It's easy and secure. Help us make our $18,000 goal before December 31st. Go to the giveguide.org website and find KBOO in the Creative Expression section. And as always, thank you for your support of KBOO.
Dr. Zom Stereo Obscura. Offbeat sounds for